In our Ideas Matter segment, we take time every week to check in with state humanities councils in our seven-state region. Today, we learn about the uncertainties facing Cuba's young people in 2016 and about a public lecture happening next week in Charlemont, Massachusetts, on Cuban immigration and on the recent rapprochement between the U.S. and Cuba. Peter Purdy of the Charlemont Forum joins us this morning. Also here is Peter, are you there? Peter, are you there?
Peter is here.
Hello, Peter. How are you?
I'm fine, Joe. Good morning.
Excellent. Of the Charlemont Forum. Carlos, you are with us as well.
Yes, I am.
And how do I pronounce your last name correctly?
Air. As if it had a Y instead of an I.
Excellent. Carlos Air is with us. He is a professor of religion and history at Yale University and the author of Learning to Die in Miami, Confessions of a Refugee Boy. Carlos will be speaking at the Charlemont Forum in Charlemont, Massachusetts on Wednesday, June 22nd, in a speech entitled Migration, Resistance, or Reform, Cuba's Uncertain Future. Peter, let us begin with you of how this forum came about.
Actually, Joe, the beginnings of the forum was somewhat serendipitous. In 2011, we learned that a Washington, D.C. friend of ours, who also has a summer home in the town of Heath here in Western Mass, had given a talk to the U.S. State Department about the influence of the nationally known theologian Reinhold Niebuhr on President Obama. Coincidentally, Niebuhr himself years earlier also had a summer home in Heath. So we thought that was a very interesting subject, and we asked our Washington, D.C. friend if he would consider giving the same talk here in Charlemont, and he agreed to do so. So we advertised his talk as best we could, and we ended up with a very sizable audience, which led us to think that there was a real interest and perhaps a real need in these hill towns of Western Mass to pursue in some depth timely, nonpartisan discussions on economic, social, and political topics. So the forum was born that way, and it became the medium to do just that, and we've kept it going for the past 6 years, selecting themes and topics each year that are being discussed in the news or otherwise in people's conversations, and we've had great support from the Massachusetts Humanities, from individuals, and from seven local cultural councils here in Franklin County.
So I want to talk to Carlos in just a moment, but why do you think, Peter, it's so important to have Carlos come and speak and talk this summer?
Well, as I said, Joe, we try to select themes that are currently in the news or people are talking about, and certainly last year when we were putting together the themes for this year, the U.S. had established diplomatic relations with Cuba, and certainly there are great numbers of American tourists increasingly going there. President Obama's visit in March further put that in the news, and we felt that it was important to have a voice of a Cuban who has written about his own experiences and certainly monitors what's going on there. And so Carlos Air was our guy.
Carlos, give us a sense. I mentioned the name of the talk, Migration, Resistance, or Reform, Cuba's Uncertain Future. Give us a sense of what you want to address.
Well, what I'd like to address is the fact that although diplomatic relations have been reestablished, not much has changed in Cuba. And since the rapprochement began, the number of young Cubans fleeing to the United States has increased exponentially. And it's a news story that is not getting much attention, but not just through the Florida Straits, the usual way in rafts, but many Cubans are now coming in through the Mexican border. And just in the first few months of this year, 2016, just through the Texas border, over 30,000 Cubans have come in because people in Cuba are desperate. They realize that there's not going to be any change politically or economically, and they're trying to get out while they can, while the U.S. still considers any Cuban who arrives here a refugee. So I'll talk about this phenomenon, and I'll talk about why it's happening, and what might lie in the future for younger people in Cuba, because all of its rulers are in their 80s or late 70s.
So when you focus on the young people, how much of this is still, I mean, how many of the, are there real question marks, or is it a time for great optimism for these young people?
No, I don't know a single Cuban who has any optimism about what is happening now. The future is very cloudy and looks very dark. The only bright spot on the horizon is, in fact, the age of these oligarchs who run Cuba, including Raul and his dynasty. The time is not on their side. What no one knows is what will happen when Raul steps down or dies, and who will succeed him, and what will happen afterwards. Most Cubans on the island don't get much in the way of real news from the outside world, but they can sense, from what I can tell, they can sense that what lies in the future for them is more very, very strong state control of everything, especially of the economy.
So when you look at the relationship with the U.S., how does that change things? And does that give any optimism?
Well, from what I can tell, the only effect so far has been an increase in tourism. And this brings more dollars into the island, but more specifically, not to the island, but the pockets of the military, because the Cuban military, headed by Raul Castro, runs the entire tourist industry. And these people-to-people trips that Americans have been taking to Cuba are very expensive and bring a lot of money to Cuba. That's the one change. But if you're not employed by Cuba's tourist industry, that's not going to have any effect on you, not so far. So, again, everything that looms over the horizon in the future, 2, 3, 4, 5 years from now, is very uncertain. And this is why young people in Cuba, rather than gaining hope about the future, are losing hope for the immediate future.
And again, we don't know of how long, certainly given Fidel Castro, immediate future could be 20 years, right?
Well, Raul is in his early 80s, so the clock is ticking loudly on this family.
Right.
Most experts speculate that the next person in line is not the man who's been designated as vice president, who is in his 50s, but rather Raul's son, who is as used to be the case with the Soviet Union. You never knew who was going to show up next, and there was very little known about people who came to the top post when they assumed that post. So he's kind of a cipher, other than the fact that he fought in Angola and lost an eye in the Angolan War. Not much is known about him.
How have you kept in touch with the people in Cuba? You're connected to Cuba through friends or family during the past 5 decades.
Yeah, well, I no longer have any family in Cuba. My last remaining uncle, who stayed there, died last year, so I lost a valuable source of information. But I'm connected to there's a network of Cuban dissidents who get real news out. As you know, and as probably most people know, the press is tightly controlled by the Castro regime in Cuba, so the news you get from there are filtered. And also foreign journalists who report from Cuba, if they report anything the government considers unfavorable, have their license revoked and they're sent home. So my source for real news is a network of dissidents in Cuba who over the past decade or so, have managed to get access to the internet, to Twitter, cell phones, and communication with the Cuban underground is much better than it was 10 years ago. That's the one thing that has improved, but the situation for them, for the dissidents, has certainly not improved because they're constantly being arrested for short periods of time and then released, and they're constantly harassed. But we get news. We get real news. The major news media, however, doesn't pay much attention to them, to these independent journalists and dissidents.
The talk is entitled Migration, Resistance, or Reform, Cuba's Uncertain Future, and Carlos will be speaking at the Charlemont Forum in Charlemont, Massachusetts on Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, June 22nd. And Peter, I assume you hope this begins a much longer dialogue.
Well, we're very excited about Carlos's coming to Charlemont, and I think we have a great audience, and we hope others who are listening to your program, Joe, will join us. The venue for this is the Charlemont Federated Church, which is a church and a community center here in this town, and it starts at 7 o'clock, and we all are welcome, and we hope many will come.
We have information on the event and links on our website, which are connected to this interview as well. You can go to wamc.org/roundtable for more information. wamc.org/roundtable. Peter Purdy and Carlos Ayer, I thank you very much for being with us this morning. Best of luck with the event.
Thanks for having us on the show.
Great pleasure.
Thanks so much,
Joe. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.